in Soto Zen training monasteries in Japan, the regular morning service involves recitation on the precious song of the precious mirror samadhi. So again and again in the daily morning service, they recite the teaching of thusness, the teaching of thus. They acknowledge the teaching of thus. And we saw that this statement in the flower splendor, splendiferous adornment sutra, one of the verses says, observe the sovereign of Dharma. The Dharma of the sovereign of Dharma is thus. In the song, our ancestor Dungshan tells us that this teaching of thus, this Dharma of thus, is intimate transmission. So the Zen bodhisattvas in the monasteries and the bodhisattvas in the great Buddha flower adornment scripture are encouraged to remember and contemplate the teaching of thus, the teaching of the Tathagata, the teaching of Vairochana. And when they take care of that meditation, when they remember that teaching, they're also remembering a dynamic and intimate transmission, an intimate conversation. And this intimate conversation is Buddha and ancestors. One could regard the collection of stories called the Book of Serenities, one could regard those 100 stories as all about the teaching of thus. All of these stories are about the great flower, splendor, adornment, scripture, teaching of thus. The first one is literally says the teaching of thus, the Dharma of thus. But the other ones, in other ways, are talking about the same Dharma of thus, the same intimate transmission. And since there's 99 other ones, I've been kind of wondering, well, which one of the 91 should I bring up next? I brought up one, right? There's so many other good stories about this teaching of intimate transmission. Again, one could, if I do, look at these stories and see each one is about this intimate transmission. And some of the stories, some of the other cases, are actually also quotes from the sutra. For example, case number 67 is a quote from case 30, from book 37 of the sutra. So I've been wondering, which one should I bring up? I thought maybe 52, but maybe not. Anyway, so I opened the Book of Serenity, and it was case 52. So I said, okay, today is case 52. So what is case 52? I think the title of the story or the case is Saoshan's Reality Body. I think that's the title of the story. So Dungshan, the one who wrote the precious mirror samadhi, the one who says, Dharma of thusness, intimate transmission. Now you have it, so take care of it. His disciple is Saoshan. So he's also taking care of this Dharma of thusness. He's also taking care of this founding of the Soto school in China, founding of the school of intimate transmission of the teaching of thus. Do you remember his name? What is it again?
Saoshan.
So they made this school by taking, they took the Sao of Saoshan and put it together with the Dung of Dungshan. And then they put the Sao first and Dung second. So it's a Sao Dung school. They put the students, the first letter of the students, the first character of the student name, they made that first, and they made the teachers first the first character who teaches, and then Dong Sati, so Sao Dong school. And if you could try it the other way, see what that sounds like. Dong Sao. I guess Chinese Sao Dong sounds better. Anyway, these two are kind of like the teacher and student who founded the school, and somebody, one of the elders of the monastery, came to the teacher Sao Dong, Sao Shan, and said something like, "Oh no, the teacher said to this to the student elder Duh, he said, the reality body, the Dharmakaya Vairochana Dharma body, is like space, and it manifests or appears in response to beings. How do you explain the principle of response? How do you explain the way this vast reality body of Buddha, Vairochana, responds to beings?" And Elder Des said, "It's like a donkey looking into a well, or looking at a well, looking into a well." And Sashan said, "You said a lot indeed, but only 80%. And Elder Des said, "Well, what about you, teacher?" And Sashan said, "It's like the well looking at the donkey. How does this vast reality body, which is like space, completely unhindered and all-inclusive, how does it respond to beings? Well, part of the way it looks at response is beings look at it. They contemplate the reality body. They contemplate the Buddha body, which is ungraspable and quiet and has no essence or nature. They look at it. And what direction do you look to see, to look at space? They don't even know what direction. Anyway, they look at what they don't even know how to look at. That's part of it. The other part is the space looks at them. This is a space that has eyes, and it looks at them. And then look, the beings, the bodhisattvas, looking at this Dharma body of space, like space, and the space looking at the sentient beings. That's the Dharma of thus. In a way, the Dharma body, the true body of Buddha, in a way, that's not really thus. That teaches thus. It's the true body of thus that teaches thus. And we, living beings, we can meditate on thus. And when we do, the transmission comes alive. And even if we don't, it's still happening. And then when this story is being told, there's kind of like some comments being made, which I kind of like. One is, it's like a donkey looking into a well. And the subtext is, falling flowers, consciously fall into the flowing stream. The donkey looks into the well. Flowers consciously fall into the flowing stream. The well looks at the donkey. The flowing stream mindlessly carries the fallen flowers. And Dongshan, I don't know if I can't tell you where in the sutra it says, now you have this transmission of this teaching of thusness. I don't know if it says it zero times or a million times, but anyway, Dongshan says, now you have it, so care for it well. And just recently in this retreat, someone told me about some wonderful transmissions that were given to her, that she received. And then she said something like, so now, and so I had these wonderful transmissions, but then I run around trying to do something with them, or I run around trying to get more. So Dongshan says, take care of it well. If you get excited, you'll fall into a pit. So once you, if you accept this transmission, which is given to you, has been given to you, be careful. Because it's like a massive fire. If you move, you might get burned or you might fall into a pit. It's a wonderful thing, but if you try to get more of it, probably not appropriate. If you try to get less of it, if you try to like look for it other places, which we do when we get excited, not appropriate. To caring for it. When we sit, we have an opportunity to care for this dumb body, which is manifesting in response to us right now. Samantabhadra sits in the presence of the Buddha. And by the power of the Buddha's awakening, Samantabhadra enters the samadhi, this wonderful samadhi. And in this samadhi, there is entering equally into the essence, or entering into the equal essence of all Buddhas. And it is entering into the ability to manifest reflective images, to manifest appearances which reflect this teaching for beings. In this samadhi, all the teachings of the Buddhas are cared for so they won't be cut off. In this samadhi, every particle is made capable of containing infinite universes. In this samadhi, all beings are liberated. This magnificent samadhi is where the function of this transmission is living. And in this samadhi, in the case of Samantabhadra entering, after entering, all the Buddhas come and praise this bodhisattva. What do they praise the bodhisattva for? Well, they praise the bodhisattva for sitting in front of the Buddha and offering herself to the Buddha and offering herself as a, making herself an offering to the Buddha, making herself an homage to the Buddha, giving herself as praise to the Buddha. The Buddhas come and praise the bodhisattva for meeting the Buddha so wholeheartedly, for devoting herself to awakening so wholeheartedly. In the samadhi, they praise the person who is entered by the grace of the Buddha who they're devoted to. And then the Buddhas, a lot of Buddhas come in, teach Samantabhadra so many, many wonderful dharmas. And then Samantabhadra will be able then for the rest of the sutra to teach us what they taught her. And then they pat Samantabhadra on the head. And this is infinite number of Buddhas come and pat Samantabhadra on the head. With their right hand, by the way. So is it one after another? Or they piled up on top anyway. More or less infinite Buddhas put their hand on Samantabhadra and rub it or pat it. I don't know which it is. In the samadhi. And now Samantabhadra has done this thing with them. They've done this intimate transmission in the samadhi. And then Samantabhadra arises from the samadhi. And when Samantabhadra arises, when Jesus walks, oh, when she walks, when Jesus walks, oh, when she walks, when Jesus walks, oh, when she walks, she walks her sins away, oh, happy day. So Samantabhadra gets up and walks out of that samadhi, and all these different ways of helping people come with Samantabhadra. And then at the end of that chapter of Samantabhadra coming out of the samadhi, the other bodhisattvas say, please teach us what you learned. And then he starts, goes to work, teaching chapter 4 and chapter 5. So one could be sitting as a transmission ceremony. It's a ceremony of sitting where we celebrate that this teaching of this Dharma of thusness has been transmitted to us, and we're sitting to take care of. We're sitting as a service to the transmission of the teaching of thus, so that when we get up from sitting, we can bring it to the world and then go back to sitting and again receive it, take care of it, steep ourselves in it, not trying to get anything, It doesn't say the donkey looked in the well and tried to get some water. Just look. Just look into the vast openness of space. Look into the teaching of thusness, not to get something, but look as a service. Sit in the presence of the Buddha as a service to Buddha. And then Buddhas will respond. And there's the transmission. And that's what we can take care of by our sitting and our walking. And everything we do can be an expression of this teaching, of thusness, of this intimate transmission. And also what comes to mind is the noon chant. Now, all Buddhas and all ancestors have made it the true path of enlightenment to sit upright in the midst of the self-fulfilling samadhi. They sit upright in the middle of the samadhi. And then it also says, from the first time you meet a master, just wholeheartedly sit. But meet the master, in other words, from the first time you have intimate transmission, just sit. From the first time. But also from the second, just sit with this transmission and take care of it with gratitude and appreciation, respect, and not trying to get anything, but to take care of it, to take care of the Buddha body, which has been transmitted and cannot be grasped. And if by any chance anybody wants to grasp anything, that will be what we call kind of a pitfall or an obstacle or a lack of attunement. So if anybody's trying to get anything or anybody thinks they actually have gotten something and want to get more, well, that's something to be compassionate with. Could be compassionate towards by saying, oh, I'm trying to hold on to this transmission, this wonderful transmission. I'm trying to hold on to this teaching of thus. I'm trying to hold on to something. I'm attached. You can see your attachments to some extent. And if you can't, maybe you could ask some other people if they can notice any. And if you notice any, then you can say, oh, there's some attachment. And you can also notice how that feels. And you can be kind to that attachment. You can love that attachment. Not love it like it, but love it like welcome it and be respectful of it. And then you can give it up. And if you give it up, the transmission will spontaneously manifest. And that's what it says in the book 37, which I'll maybe get to later. So we say now that this transmission has occurred, but it's also sometimes called the transmission of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. It's called the transmission of the first three bodhisattva precepts in this tradition. The precept of going for refuge in Buddha, the precept going for refuge in Dharma, the precept of going for refuge in Sangha. That's another way to say the teaching of thus. And if we try to grasp Buddha, Dharma, or Sangha, or any of the other bodhisattva precepts, then we have something to notice and acknowledge. And say, we're sorry we did that. We're sorry we grasped something, that we didn't respect that these precepts are the body of Buddha and they cannot be grasped. So if we grasp them, we have an opportunity to apologize. And your precious abbot brought up something to me just a moment ago, which I think she's going to remind you at the mealtime, because between now and lunch is enough time to forget whatever I say.
You know what? Oh, God.
Whatever she would say. But it has to do with one of our forms, which are part of our precepts. We have forms and ceremonies, which are our first pure precept is about these forms and ceremonies. Do you know about the first three bodhisattva precepts? First one's called, originally it's called precepts of restraint, which are conducive to liberation. Sanskrit, Patimoksha, Samvara Shila. That's the first of the three bodhisattva pure precepts. And under that heading come the forms and ceremonies and also like not killing, not stealing. All those precepts go under that first category. So these forms and ceremonies that we do are forms and ceremonies conducive to liberation. So one of the forms and ceremonies we have is that we pour water into our eating bowls, into our monastic eating bowls, actually. When you use them bowls, you're, at least for the moment, in a monastery, using monastic bowls, we pour water in the bowls and we clean the bowls, right? That's the form we have, and we have a way of doing it. And we offer this form as a way, as a form conducive to liberation, to find a way to do this form as an intimate transmission, which we do not attach to. We practice it, we take care of it, and we watch out not to get excited about it. Ooh, this is so cool to be cleaning these bowls. This is like really Zen to clean bowls. Back in the late 60s, when Tassajara Zen Monastery first opened, the person, I think it's the person who started this thing called the Whole Earth Catalog, Stuart Brand, he visited Tassajara and he saw how we washed our bowls. And he thought, they're so ecological. They wash their bowls and then they drink them, their dishwater. But there's one detail that the precious abbot wanted to bring up is that we wash these bowls, which are part of this form, this ceremonial form, which is conducive to awakening, to liberation. But then at the end, we use some of the water that we use to wash our bowls. We give some of that water to the many spirits and make an offering of this water. So in order to make an offering of the water, then we would need to leave a little bit of it. And not only can you leave a little bit of it, but there's a way of when you pour the water from the second bowl into the third bowl, you can pour the water from the second bowl into the third bowl before you drink any of it. So if you pour from the second bowl to the first bowl first before you drink it, you pour the cleaner part into the third bowl. So you could do that as a kind of special offering to these beings who were trying to help, who were trying to liberate. Not only do we get liberated from this practice, they do too. And then we drink the other part, which has perhaps some brown rice husk in it. We eat the other part. So this is a form that's offered, which is conducive to liberation if you can do it wholeheartedly without any attachment, without trying to get anything, without any hesitation, just like you take care of the teaching of thusness. And then there's some other forms too, as you may have noticed. Each of them, yes.
Pardon, I didn't quite understand them. When you drink.
You didn't quite understand what?
I didn't understand when it is that you drink the water.
Oh, so you've got water in the second bowl, right? And then you pour into the third, right? However, you don't have to pour all of it into the third. You can pour just a little bit, and then there's some left, and you can drink that. We don't usually. Oh yeah, you can drink that. And then also, if when you pour out the third bowl, if there's a little bit, tiny bit left, you can drink that. So you can eat. You can. Or you could pour all of it from the second into the third, but sometimes that's too much for the third. So one way is pour some of it into the third, drink the rest, and now the part in the third is kind of clean, and you pour that in, and there's maybe a little bit left. Other way is you could pour more in and pour some in the thing, and then you'd have more left. So if you want to get two servings, you can pour part out, drink the first what's left, pour a little bit more out, and then drink. You can have two servings if you want to do it that way. All without trying to get anything. All as an offering to the teaching of thusness, all as an offering, as an offering right now to the Buddha mind seal, the Buddha mind, which is the teaching of thusness. I do actually both ways, but I noticed here I've been drinking and then pouring and then just pouring. I've been pouring and drinking and then pouring. And not drinking after I pour. I pour it all in. Is that right? I think I pour it all in and then there's none left. But sometimes there's some left, some that I drink. In Texas, I haven't been leaving any to drink. Yes.
Pouring into the, to make the, you are making an offering into the.
I pour into the blue bucket, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone is that.
Yeah. And I'm as Zen saying, I often there's some left, but it's the angle that it's, that I'm offering sort of to the side rather than the front. It's hard to leave any. I can't, it's hard to see what's going on there. When I do it right in front of me, I often can do another, and I often drink it. But here I've been pouring all of it in. But before I don't put all the dishwater in, just part. I drink the rest. So, and I think you will be reminded of this later, just in case you have short memory problems, short-term memory problems. Is there anything else you want to bring up this morning before I go? Yes?
I oftentimes forget that the sitting is an offering. So what do you recommend as a good way to remember, to be reminded that this is the offering?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is, right now, say, I want to sit as an offering. You say that out loud or to yourself. That will help you the next time you sit, remember to say it again at the beginning of the period, and you can do it even before you get in the room. So you could start, when you start walking towards the meditation hall, you could say, I'm going to the meditation hall. Yeah, I'm going to the meditation hall, and I'm going to make an offering to the Buddhas by sitting. I'm going to go and sit as an offering to the Buddha. You could say that as you're approaching over and over, over and over. And then when you get in, when you open the door and come in, you might remember from the door to your seat. And then sit. Say, I made it. Now, here we go. Here's my offering. If you do that, what I just said, if you do that today, you probably will sometime in the future remember it again. Because you can do it maybe 15, 20 times on the way to the Zendo. Say it over and over and over and over and over. And then you'll remember more. And so I've said it quite a few times. And I remember it quite a few times, but I don't remember every single period. I don't sit down every period and say, I now offer myself to the Buddha. But I sometimes do. I'm here in the presence of the Buddha, and I'm offering myself to the Buddha. And if by any chance you want to support me to enter your samadhi, I'm ready. And when I was telling you about this, thinking about making an going to the Zendo, thinking, I'm going to the Zendo to make an offering. Kind of childlike, right? I'm going to make an offering to Buddha. What's the offering going to be? Oh, it's going to be me offering myself sitting to the Buddha. I'm going to do that. I went to China one time. Remember when we went to China together? And we visited some monasteries. And one of the monasteries we visited, was anybody else on that trip who's in the room? Sorry, you weren't there. But let me tell you about one day we were going to go. We went to this big monastery, which I think is called Cao Shi. It's the sixth ancestor had another monastery, but this is the main monastery of the sixth ancestor. And we were staying in hotels, and we went from our hotel to the monastery. And I got not my robes exactly, but my priest clothes on, and my precious wife said to me, "Oh, you're going to see your ancestor." And it started. I'm going to see my ancestor. I'm not just going to a monastery. I'm going to see my ancestor. I'm not just going to a room. I'm going to the Zendo. to meet the Buddha. I'm going to the Zendo to meet my ancestors. Anyway, she said that woke me up, because that's what I was going to do. But I didn't think of it in the hotel. But, you know, when you're in the hotel, it's a good time to think of it, because you're in the hotel. And if you're in your car, it's a good time to think of it, because you're in your car. If you're in your house and you're going to the Zen Center, it's good. Well, I'm going to the Zen Center to meet my ancestors, because they're honored and enshrined in the Zen Center. I'm going to go meet my ancestors. Wow, cool. And so we got there, and then we took a bus or something. We got out of the bus, and we go into the Zen, and we go into the temple, then to the monastery, and we go through the gate. And as we go through the gate, I start crying, because I'm going to see my ancestor. And we just keep going, and I just keep crying, and we go into the hall, and I just start bowing. And I bow, and I bow, and I bow. I kind of had in mind a certain number, 108. And it was a hot day. And I just kept bowing and bowing, and I just got more and more happy to make offerings to my ancestor, to praise my ancestor. And I was so happy to be soaking wet with devotion to my ancestor. This is the way to go to Zazen. And if you do that a few times, you'll more and more remember. But even though, it doesn't mean you won't forget. You still may forget. Oh, I'm just going to go in Zendo. What's that for? I don't know. I'm so tired. Okay, what am I doing here again? Oh, yeah. What was it? Oh, yeah, right. I'm here to offer my life to the Buddhas. I'm here to offer myself to the Dharma and the Sangha. That's what I'm here for. Oh, yeah, great. Good. Let's do it. The more you do that, the more you remember. So, yeah, do it again soon before you forget. Anything else you want to bring up this morning? Yes.
I'm hoping that you can repeat a part of your talk that I probably don't remember well actually tells you specifically what it was, so let's try it. Samaja Baladrio was sitting or lying down in the presence of the Buddha, and the Buddha, I book, was offering the teaching of thusness.
No, in chapter 3, well, the Buddha, but if you look at the Buddha, it says, what does it say? Observe the sovereign of Dharma. Look at the sovereign of Dharma. Okay, there it is. You're looking at the sovereign of Dharma. The Dharma of this sovereign of Dharma is thus. That's in a different chapter. In this chapter, it just says, Samantabhadra sat down on this throne, lion throne, in the presence, in front of the Buddha. And then it said, and by the power of the Buddha, entered Samadhi. So Samantabhadra sits down and offers herself to the Buddha, and the Buddha responds by using the power of awakening to initiate the Bodhisattva into this magnificent samadhi, where this, all these wonderful things are going to happen. That's the beginning of, right away, it's the first sentence of chapter 3. And then they describe what happens there. They just tell you about all the stuff that goes on there, and then they talk about what happened to the person, the Bodhisattva who entered. How the Buddha praises this Bodhisattva for sitting there and offering himself. And then they teach this Bodhisattva, and then they pat the Bodhisattva on the head, and then the Bodhisattva is ready to share this wonderful practice, this wonderful samadhi, which, again, in our tradition, we don't just enter the samadhi once and then go to work. We continually re-enter the samadhi. We sit down again, and by the power of the Buddhas, not by our trying to do anything or get anything, but us being generous, by being generous to the Buddhas respond by bringing us into the samadhi, and then we get up again and live our day. So the teaching, this Buddha giving the teaching of thusness is in chapter 1, and this is the beginning of chapter 3.
Yes. You said the samadhi was named after Samantabhadra.
Well, the name of the chapter is, the chapter says Samantabhadra Samadhi, but then And then right after, it tells us that Samantabhadra was carried up into the samadhi and entered it. Then it tells us the name of the samadhi, which is much longer, which is, it's the either womb or seed body of the Tathagata, which is Vairochana, and is present in all Buddhas. That's the name of the samadhi.
Is that related to Buddha nature?
Yeah, because you could imagine that in Sanskrit, and I don't think we have Sanskrit for this chapter, but the seed body or the womb body of the Tathagata could be understood as Tathagata Garbha, which is kind of Buddha nature. So you could kind of say the name of this samadhi is Buddha nature, which is Vairochana, which all Buddhas possess. But it doesn't actually say Buddha nature, and we don't have Sanskrit. But and in the way Cleary translates it, which is the one we'll probably send you, is the name of it is the immanent body of the illuminator of such use. So illuminator is Vairochana. He tries to make his translation accessible by taking up a lot of Sanskrit. So he only says Samantabhadra a couple times. Mostly he says universally good. And he almost never says Tathagata. What he writes is, instead of Tathagata, he writes just Buddha. But in this case, the illuminator is Vairochana, and the suchness, thusness, is the Tathagata. And then he says immanent body is the Garbha, or the womb body. He doesn't even say womb body, he says immanent body. The other translation says womb body, but actually the translator says it really is a seed pod, it's a lotus seed pod. And in this, the translator is saying, I wish the Chinese commentators would have mentioned that more than once. Usually they say womb. And Cleary translates that offering a store, like storehouse. He's a wonderful translator, but there's other translations which complement his. Anything else this morning? Yes.
So you mentioned the Dharmapa, and you talked about how it's related to the other two bodies.
Yeah, well, so there's three. And now, at this phase of Buddhism, we have three. Before the Yogacara school arose, maybe in the early Kami era, the Buddhist tradition had two bodies. One is the Dharmakaya, the true body of Buddha. The other is the Nirmanakaya, the transformation or the manifested body of the Buddha. The Buddha appearing in manifestation. And then later, a third body called the... So did I say Nirmanakaya? Sambhogakaya. And Sambhoga could be translated as bliss or orgasm, but often also translated as reward. It's a reward for the faithful. So it's like there's this, in a way, the Sambhogakaya, the reward body or the bliss body, is kind of like Samantabhadra sitting with the Dharmakaya Buddha, not the Nirmanakaya Buddha, not the manifested historical Buddha, but sitting with the Dharmakaya radiant Vairochana, and his faithful offering of himself. He enters into the body of reward for his faith, which is the samadhi. So the samadhi, in a way, that's described in chapter 3, is kind of like the Sambhogakaya. It's like the bliss body of Buddha, or some reward body of those who faithfully sit, not to get something, but to give their life to the triple treasure, to give their life to the awakening for welfare of all beings. Those faithful beings, the body that they experience then is this samadhi. Yeah, so thank you. We could think of the historical person could sit in the presence of the vast spaciousness of the of Dharma and offer herself, and in that enter into the Sambhogakaya. the bliss body of Buddha, which was not brought up in the first several centuries of the tradition. Thank you. I hadn't thought of that. The third chapter is kind of like the bliss body, the bodhisattva bliss body of Samantabhadra. Anything else this morning? Oh, and one more footnote is that Stuart Brand gave Tassajara an ecology award for the way we wash our bowls. An environmental protection award. And I think it's maybe it's in the whole word catalog. I'll make sure. No other offerings at this time?